While we were marching through Georgia, everybody swing your honey, swing your high and low. The Alaman left for the old left, and around the ring you go. A grand old right to left, walk on your heel and toe. Promenade that pretty gal to Georgia.
Did you ever see The Longest Yard? In the movie, Burt Reynolds, because it's Burt, not the other guy, he gets into an argument with his girlfriend and takes off in her little French car. She calls the police and Burt leads them on a chase. They leave West Palm Beach to race through a square in Savannah. Then Burt makes a right and begins crossing the Sidney Lanier Bridge in Brunswick, Georgia. It's a center lift drawbridge, the kind where the middle lifts up entirely. Burt stops in the middle, then backs up and drops his car 6 feet onto the exit ramp and drives off as the police are stuck on the drawbridge. And as he comes off the exit ramp, a sign welcomes him back to West Palm Beach. You know the rest. He gets arrested, the guy from Green Acres yells at him a lot, game ball, you know, all that. The original Lanier Bridge was built in 1956 and was that center drawbridge type. This was fine for a while, but as ships got bigger, it became necessary to open the bridge more and more often, and I can tell you from once living near the Intracoastal in Florida, drawbridges can make a short car trip a long, tiresome journey. In November of 1972, a freighter called the African Neptune left the docks at Brunswick, bound for Sri Lanka. The crew had spent some time in town and had been taken to eat and shop for supplies by a local Christian mission. The NTSB report on the accident says that the helmsman didn't apply the correct pressure to the helm and that four others on the bridge at the time failed to detect that they were off course. The bridge operator raised the span, but it was obvious that the ship wasn't going to make it. The African Neptune dropped its anchor, but that didn't help. The ship missed the opening by more than 300 feet. About 450 feet of the roughly mile-long bridge went into the water. There were about 10 cars on the bridge at the time, and the death toll would reach 10 when they were all accounted for. Jimmy Carter was governor of Georgia at the time, and he directed the state to begin rebuilding. After all, the state had floated the bonds to build the bridge in the first place. It paid for the bridge through tolls. Because the ship was owned by a foreign company, it could be years before they could be forced to pay for repairs. Georgia would eventually sue the ship's owners, and that's Ferrell Lines, for $2 million. The family of a woman who died on the scene would also sue for $1 million. Now keep in mind that this was 1972. This was before steel shipping containers and before the monstrous cargo carriers we have today. The damage to the Key Bridge in Baltimore is much more significant than the Lanier, but the Key was also hit by a much larger and much more powerful ship. Ships hitting bridges isn't all that uncommon, but ships are getting bigger and bigger and causing significantly more damage. The Lanier Bridge reopened in 1973 with a new system to detect ships in danger of contacting the bridge. Good thing, because in 1987, a Polish freighter also hit the bridge, this time closing it for 21 weeks at a cost of $3 million, and there were no injuries at that time. The ship was held until they could post a bond for the repairs. Oddly enough, the African Neptune would continue to carry cargo and eventually would be modified to carry supplies for Operation Desert Storm. The Sidney Lanier Bridge would be rebuilt in 2003. The new one is really cool looking. It's just about a mile and a half long, and the towers are nearly 500 feet tall. The Lanier Bridge and the Dames Point Bridge in Jacksonville, Florida, use something called a harp stay arrangement, and that basically means that the cables are parallel to each other as they travel from the towers down to the deck. It's a very unique looking bridge. It uses slightly red-tinted sodium lights so that the turtles nesting nearby won't be distracted by the lights of the bridge. And one last story. In 1961, a British doctor walked from Key West to Boston, racking up upwards of 67 miles a day. This was the old bridge and it had no space for pedestrians, but a lane was closed to allow her passage, otherwise she would have had to walk an extra 16 miles. The paper says that the locals were rather upset that a British national would be allowed to walk across the bridge while natural-born Americans were prohibited. I'm really excited to tell you that I have two live shows coming up. The first one is Saturday, April 6th. That's at BSG Cafe in Cornelia. That's a new place next to Big Daddy's. Next, on April 13th, at Sweet Southern Creations on Washington Street in Clarksville. It's more or less across from the theater. Both will start at 3 o'clock. They'll last about an hour. No admission, of course, and both will lean a little more heavily on true crime than I've done in other live shows. The Cornelia show will focus mostly on Cornelia and the Clarksville show on Clarksville. If you've done a Haunted Habersham ghost tour with me, this is all new material. I'm not reusing any material from the ghost tours. And I'm really excited to get out and meet some people who are listening to the podcast. So if you can make it on April 6th or April 13th, I'd really love to see you there. A grand old right left walk on your heel and toe. Promenade that pretty gal to Georgia. That's all.